Let us pray. God, we just heard from Takashi Suzuki on Easter to believe in you, to be loved by you. We give you thanks. We too, through your word in the Bible, we may live. And we ask that you keep us precious. Please, through the word of the Bible, speak to each every one of us as we need. This we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So let's look at today's Bible verse. If you have one of the brown Bibles, it's on page 808. The reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 5 to 7. Luke chapter 24, from verse 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." This was a news of great joy to them. And to us, Christmas, every Christmas, we hear of Jesus' birth and take that as great news. But this great news, this news of joy, gets its great meaning, its fruit, from the resurrection of Jesus. If it weren't for the resurrection, it's possible that we would remember Jesus' birth sadly. It would simply be a sad thing that we lost this precious person. Yet, because Jesus was born on this earth, he was to experience death on the cross and for the purpose of rising again. So, the joy of hearing about Jesus is the joy of victory. The news of victory is joyful beyond anything else. So now, we discover that Jesus, having been crucified and died, to rise again, he destroyed Satan. In Genesis, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This is prophecy that is fulfilled here. We might think that there is no God of love, but this whole idea is destroyed by Jesus' resurrection. Throughout Earth's history, we are told to fear death, and people have always feared death. Through all kinds of defeats, the most fearsome and the ultimate defeat is that of death. Because we have no way to overcome death ourselves. Yet, to defeat death, we have to somehow get through defeat and continue to live. But we can't do that. However, Jesus died and was resurrected. And in this way, he turned the defeat of death into victory.
If
we believe in Jesus in the same way, we can taste victory and its glory in resurrection as he did. We are no longer bound by death. The news of the victory over death is a story of a great reversal of fortune. God has brought us back from the brink of the cliff. When Jesus died on the cross, it seemed that everything was finished. It was all over. But God had prepared the glory of the resurrection for Jesus. Jesus had been raised on the cross. He was taken away from the earth. His life was gone. And yet, at that time, as if a flower was blooming from this cliff face of the crucifixion, he would allow resurrection to bloom. The Major League team Yankees had a player named Yogi Berra, and he had a famous saying, "The game is not over until it's over." And I think we have to engrave these words on our hearts. The game is not over till it's over. At the end of the game, there is a true winner. There may have been cliffhangers, apparent defeats. But God, when it seems that defeat is almost decided, he can bring us back from the brink and give us victory. I think there are many such examples. We may feel that our financial situation is quite dire and we can't sleep. We have difficulties in our human relations or our families. We have spiritual, physical difficulties. The depth of human darkness. When we feel this, when we feel the powerlessness of the human being, we wonder whether our disease can be ever healed. When we are caught up in a web too complex to solve, it seems too difficult and we can't accept it. We are given a new life and yet having been safely born, we barely have time to give thanks, but sometimes a baby will die. Or perhaps having spent time in the hospital, they will recover. Having grown some, we don't know how, but there are so many things that can happen to children. There are lots of things in this world. When I was in America, I heard a family that had been missionaries in Ukraine. And their testimony was about this. They had three daughters. And the older two had many events, but they became adults and independent. But the youngest, third daughter, was a sophomore in high school, and she had difficulties. Her parents would go to Ukraine as missionaries, and so she had to enter the school in Ukraine. And since she couldn't understand Russian or Ukrainian, she was bullied. She fell into depression and started to refuse to go to school. As missionaries, they wondered, we are serving Jesus. How can this happen? Why is our innocent daughter being tortured this way? And they talked to her about this. And she heard this many times. One day, they were talking to her and trying to bring her out of her depression. And she started crying, stood up and said, there's no meaning to my life anymore, and ran to the window, perhaps to throw herself down. This happened so suddenly that her mother could do nothing. She just stood there and watched as her daughter ran. But her husband had somehow sensed what was going to happen and chased her over and managed to catch her just before she tried to jump out the window. And he was able to hold her there. And they wondered, have we done this to our daughter? And the three of them cried together. And the two of them decided, though they had no money, and their missionary support would be cut off, they took everything they had and decided to spend some time taking care of their daughter and decided to go to America. And they began to study at the Flushing Seminary where Pastor Han studied. They were so poor that he went to a recycle shop and bought a suit for $5. And in America, she began to study in the high school. It was difficult at first, but she began to steady up, get steady, and settle down. And they wondered whether they should stay in America, but eventually they decided that their original plan of 1 year would be enough, and they took that third daughter back to Ukraine at the end of that year. They stood there at the brink, at the cliff, and somehow managed to perceive a little flower and turn back. It's happened to me too. It happens to us too. It's going to happen again. But no matter what condition we're in, we can't simply make that decision. We can't decide it's over. We can't give it up. Why not? Because until God says it's over, it's not over. The game isn't over until it's over. God can build a house of hope on the hill of despair. We want, of course, a house of hope on a hill of hope. But God is more powerful than that. On the hill of despair, He's able to prepare for us a house of hope. God can give us hope. At the very edge, He can make that flower bloom. If we look at the Bible, We see so many places where it seemed that they were about to go over the edge. At the Red Sea, with the Egyptian army chasing them, they thought there was nowhere to go, but then the sea parted for them and they were able to escape. But then, on the other side, there was nothing to eat. And they thought they would die of starvation. And somehow, at the very end, they were about to riot, and then manna fell from heaven. Then they became thirsty. There was no water. And not just the humans, but all of the cattle and goats and sheep would die. But at that point, water sprang from a rock. In Israel, they tried to rebuild the country over and over again, but it would be destroyed over and over again. Still, once again, they would rebuild. Having been brought to the highest place, Daniel was placed into a cage for animals. And he thought he was going to die. He had no strength. His wisdom was gone. There was nothing left for him. He thought there was nothing left but to die. Yet God, at that extreme, in his extremity, made the flower bloom for him. In the summer, I am returning to home on my bicycle, and there, in the pavement, in the concrete, a little blade of grass will rise, and eventually a flower will bloom. With more strength than I can muster, and seeing that grass, I was moved. God can make the grass grow anywhere. Even in extremity, God will begin new things for us. If we look at the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17 to 2:10, this is page 708 in the Brown Bibles, more or less. So let us read from Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me." I said, "I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So Jonah had not believed God's word, ignored it, and he was thrown into the ocean. But God saved him. Though he was sinking and unable to breathe, and there was nothing he could do, he was not able to rise to the surface, yet God, at that critical moment, there, as he was about to sink into the pit, prepared an amazing great fish which swallowed him. And I wonder if you've thought about this, but isn't this a strange kind of salvation? He could have been taken directly to a pleasant garden, but instead, there at the edge of the pit, he was offered only this little flower to be swallowed by a fish and still alive. And at the very end, it says, Jonah was vomited on the dry land. Why, having prepared this great fish, why did he have to spend 3 days? Why did God choose to save Jonah in this way? What was his purpose? What do you think? Having read this in the second chapter of Jonah, Jonah offers a prayer of thanks from his own mouth. And he promises to fulfill his promises. So God caused Jonah to experience thanksgiving, to feel thankful, to taste thanksgiving. Had he been simply vomited forth onto the earth, if he had been teleported directly, perhaps he would not have felt so thankful. But God gave him this chance because though a human believes it's over, God is able to create a new beginning at that very point. We believers, from the very beginning, would like to live in a beautiful garden and have flowers bloom for us there. But that's not the way it works. Why not? It's because we have our pride. We love, but we are proud. If we can see forward, if we can predict how things are going to turn out, we tend to forget the Lord. If we look at the Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 105, the famous verse, it's about page 469 in the Brown Bibles. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Last week, Pastor Soo Kyung once sent this verse to me when I was depressed. She was here last week for the ceremony and gave the sermon then. And I didn't understand it at that time, but she explained it to me in that email. It says, a light for the path. But where I had thought that it was like the lights in our towns today, where you can see far ahead and the light just goes wow before us. But that's not the way it is. At that time, they would put the lamp on their legs, their ankles, because it was only enough light to see one step forward. If you lift your face and look forward, you can't see anything. It's all black. You can only see one step forward, and then you can see another step forward. It's not like a street light in our cities. This lamp, God's Word, only allows us to see one step forward. That's all it shines on. And as we step by step move forward in this way, if we look back, then we can see our path in the past. It's not the kind of light that cuts open a path before us. Rather, it shows us one step at a time. God will open the path for us, but all we can see is the one step. God's Word is like that lamp. It's to help us make that one step and then another. It's not our strength. It's all God's blessing. It's all God's grace and His guidance. If we don't confess that, we have nothing. So, if we can see our way forward, we become proud. We become arrogant. We become lazy. If we can see forward, we act like we have great flexibility. And in the end, we forget God. If we go back to today's reading in Luke, chapter 24, from verse 5, in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. These women and the disciples there at the brink of the pit, having entered this downward spiral as despair piled on despair, we're told by these angels, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is risen. At that pit, at the, facing the cliff, they received the bloom of a single flower. This was the flower of life. It all begins from here. If we look at history, we see the disciples thinking that it was all over. There's nothing left for us. In the depths of their despair, God began a new thing, and they were there to experience it. And this is Jesus Christ's resurrection. Because of Jesus Christ's resurrection, we are okay. We have Jesus Christ's resurrection. Because of His resurrection, we're okay. There's nothing greater, no hope greater than Jesus' resurrection. There is no answer greater than Jesus' resurrection. There is no light. There's no joy greater than Jesus' resurrection. There is no light greater than Jesus' resurrection. There is no wealth greater than Jesus' resurrection. There is no healing greater than Jesus' resurrection. There is no comfort greater than Jesus' resurrection. There is no wisdom greater than Jesus' resurrection. And there is no power greater than Jesus' resurrection, you know. In order to make us understand that, God brings us to the very brink of the pit. It's distressing. Yet, if we are not pushed to that point, we keep thinking that there's something bigger than Jesus. We mistakenly believe there's something more. There is nothing that exists that is greater than Jesus' resurrection. And that is, to show us that, is why God brings us to the brink of the pit. And there shows us the blossom of a single flower. And when thanksgiving wells up in us, God says, having brought you step by step, if you look back, you can see that you have been led through a beautiful garden, one flower at a time. That is the meaning of Jesus' resurrection. We no longer have to face the defeat of death because of Jesus' resurrection. We are okay because we have Jesus' resurrection. We are okay. We have Jesus' resurrection. Let us pray.